Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Live from Richland Center, WRCE Studios and the beautiful Driftless, and along with our producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is back on the board at our world headquarters in Madison. I am Todd Alba. Welcome. It is a beautiful Wednesday hump day. Talk about cutting it close, Mr. Zommers.
Well, we got it. We got it. You know, we almost had to have you call in or have Pat fill in for you. Too bad.
And that's the beauty of having a professional colleague like Pat Kreitlow, because he was standing by ready to fill in and start the show. Mr. Kreitlow, I appreciate it. How are you today?
Professional, my butt. Trigvy and I were all set to finally have our own show. It was going to be Pat, Trigvy, and Aaron. It was going to be beautiful, but apparently my wire cutters didn't go all the way through, and you managed to reconnect it 1:05 and 59 seconds. So good work out of you.
I felt like a little bit of that broadcast news scene, you know, trying to make the cut.
But we got here. You are.
We got there. Well, great to be with you all on a Wednesday. Mr. Kreitlow, you first. How are things up there in beautiful Lake Wissota? Of course, Pat is on every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network with Up North News.
Things are cloudy and gloomy, but that might be just me because of what I've been doing for the past couple of hours. I have been monitoring. Oh, God, Trigvy's going to yell at me. I've been monitoring in real time the House Judiciary Committee hearings chaired by Jim Jordan as they grill FBI Director Christopher Wray. And I'm doing this only for the purposes of getting both Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, who are members of the committee, getting recordings of them spewing this conspiracy and that conspiracy. But I have to listen to every other Republican before getting to them. And I weep for the Republic sometimes on days like this. I just do.
Same Christopher Wray who was appointed by Donald Trump, Pat?
Yes. Yes. Then that's the point the Democratic members are pointing out.
Chris
yes,
Wray.
He was appointed by Trump. He called himself a conservative many times, you know, in this hearing today. He mentioned that everybody who has prosecuted, all the many people who have been prosecuted in the Trump administration have been done under Republican attorneys general appointed by Donald Trump. So I don't know. At some point, people look at Trump and go, maybe it's him. But no, for now, it's Christopher Wray.
I welcome in also on a Wednesday, per usual, from the Lincoln Project, senior advisor, Wisconsin native and Wisconsin political operative as well. Now gone on to bigger, better things from the Lincoln Project, Trivy Olson. Trivy, what say you?
Well, you know, I just think it's good that Pat is recording them. I don't know what Tom Tiffany is thinking. It's going to be interesting to see if he runs for the U.S. Senate against Tammy Baldwin. That would be epic watching him to try and be on a statewide stage.
But it's not
healthy for you to do that, Pat.
It's really not. It's so not good for my blood pressure. But I'm waiting on Fitzgerald. Tiffany did ask questions, quote unquote questions, but it was all about agreeing with Senator Ron Johnson that he was set up by the FBI when they gave him a defensive briefing, saying, "Did you know you're spouting, you know, Russian talking points?" And instead of Ron Johnson saying, "Thank you, I'll stop doing that," he said, "Oh, it's the FBI trying to set me up." And Tom Tiffany claiming that the FBI interfered in both the 2016 and 2020 elections as a result. I mean, this is what you want from a congressman from up north, right?
Pat, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. What's your take on this? We pointed out that Democrats moving into 2024 are setting themselves to run on things such as what's now being called Bidenomics, inflation going down, a record number of jobs, the economy doing better, things that infrastructure. I think hundreds of thousands of infrastructure projects all over the country, which Republicans who didn't vote for it are trying to take credit for. Meanwhile, Republicans are running on these divisive social issues. I just don't see how that plays well in your neck of the woods, literally and figuratively, in northern Wisconsin.
No, it doesn't. Or in Western Wisconsin. And that was our topic this morning on Up North News Radio with Rebecca Cook, the first Democrat to throw her hat in the ring to run against freshman Republican Derek Van Orden, is that while, you know, she has people that are in need of, you know, good economic policy, good rural policy. You've got a, you know, a House led by Republicans that are doing nothing but culture war, social issues, and taking away women's health care rights and trying to keep college students from voting. And so when you, if that's really where the Republican Party wants to go, I think a lot of Democrats are saying, yeah, I think we're going to be ready for you this time.
Rigby?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to watch what's happening because on some level, what the Republicans constantly are trying to do, and Republicans do this to Democrats all the time, Republicans build narrative around people's fears, right? Whereas mm-hmm. Democrats end up getting caught in this trap where they talk policy. Yes. And so Democrats have to do a better job of pointing out the cognitive dissonance of, yeah, particularly on cultural issues, right? I mean, I think of myself, I'm pro-life. I became a conservative because I didn't really want, when I was in college, the thought that people on the left, like Ted Kennedy, were going to be telling me what to do. But I'm damn sure don't want Scott Walker and Greg Abbott and Donald Trump telling my daughters what they can and can't do. It's antithetical to conservatism. if you're going to hammer on, you know, a Derek Van Orten or a Tom Tiffany or any of these guys, there is nothing traditionally conservative in a Reagan-esque way about any of them, spending, culture, and Democrats have to do a better job of getting out of getting trapped in policy.
All right.
Pat, I know we're running out of time here. Thank you very much. 6 until 8, Monday through Friday, Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. We appreciate you, sir.
You bet.
Have a great day. Back with more Intrigue Me after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Live from Richland Center, our studios here in Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE. We appreciate Phil Nee and the entire gang here at RCE. My original station, by the way, where I got my start, thanks to Ron Fruit and Peter Athanas back in the day. And then, of course, Phil Nee as well. So glad to be back here on the RC in the hometown. It's quarter after the hour of 1 o'clock. As per usual, we have Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with us on Wednesday. We appreciate him being here in hour number two. At the bottom of the hour, great guy, Joe Nosek of the Cashbox Kings. Great blues band. Going to talk a little blues music. And while we're in Richland Center talking about the event tonight here in town, starting at 5:30 with dinner, the Patriotic Millionaires, a great group of folks who basically said, look, we've done well, but we're not taxed enough. And they're coming to town here, putting on a free dinner and some bowling as well. You could, they asked if you have to sign up ahead of time, but you could walk in at the Phoenix Bowling Center here in Richland Center or Southwest Wisconsin. Come on down at 5:30 at the Phoenix Center here on Orange Street in Richland Center. Get yourself a free dinner and a little education. And really, my former boss, Dale Schultz, is going to be here, former majority leader and state senator. And just saying, look, I met with these guys. This is not a scam. You're not being, because I think a lot of people thought this was Amway, like a free dinner and a, you know, meeting. It's not. It's just to say, hey, we want to help educate you on the tax structure and how if we start, doesn't matter whether you're a Trumper or a Bernie Sanders person, doesn't matter whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, come on down because they're not going to talk about those issues. They're simply going to talk about taxation in America. A great book here, Erica Payne, the founder of Patriotic Millionaires, Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. So going to be really great. Come on down to the Phoenix Center in Richland Center at 5:30. Doors open at 5 here in town. It should be a good time had by all. Trigvi Olson, you certainly dealt with your fair of lobbyists and other people over the years. And one of the goofballs, not a lobbyist, but a former football coach from Alabama, now a United States Senator. And in this case, I'll use that term loosely. Tommy Tuberville, big Trumpster guy down in Alabama. We talked about this, I believe, on Monday's show. He is holding up now over 250 confirmations of everywhere from the Commandant of the Marine Corps this week, which expired on Monday. That is now an interim person. It's vacant, essentially. And this is going to come up through several other branches of the military. Tommy Tuberville, senator from Alabama, through goofy Senate rules, in Todd's opinion, is holding this all up. And in my opinion, is putting our military readiness at risk.
Yep. And he's doing it under the auspices of the idea that he's trying to not allow abortions on in the Marine Corps. You know, again, this is, you know, he's putting our national defense at risk. This is a classic, I want to control government to institute my will on all kinds of other people. And in this case, he's putting the country at risk in doing it. He's a former football coach. He got asked about white nationalists, and he said, I forget his exact quote, but he basically defended white nationalism. And then his rap to it was, well, I'm a football coach, right? Like, as if that matters one way or the other. He was the head coach at Auburn. The guy is an embarrassment. And what's sad about it is, you know, in Alabama actually elected a Democrat, Doug Jones. Tommy Tuberville beat Doug Jones. And I've met Doug Jones. Doug Jones, former federal prosecutor, a moderate guy, probably even pretty conservative for Democrat standards. It's sad because this guy's a clown.
According to Mother Jones, this is from a CNN interview with Caitlin Collins, I believe on Monday night, when claimed that when Caitlin Collins interviewed Senator Tuberville, he said, "You look, you're supporting white nationalism." He said, "That's some people's opinion that white nationalists hold racist beliefs." I mean, here's the exact quote. Quote, "My opinion of a white nationalist, if somebody wants to call them white nationalist, is to me an American," Tuberville said. Quote, "Now, if that white nationalist is a racist, I'm totally against anything they want to do because I'm 110% against racism. But I want somebody that's in our military that's strong, that believes in the country, that's an American, will fight out alongside anyone." And when pushed back by Caitlin Collins and said, "Well, Senator, the very definition of a white nationalist is racist," he says, "Well, that's some people's opinion." I mean, that's everybody's. I mean, anybody has a brain, that's their opinion. And what's really sad to me, Trick V, is that I haven't heard so far. I've been traveling today. I don't know any prominent Republican in D.C. that's calling him out.
No, I mean, it's like Donald Trump after Charlottesville. There's good people. There are good people on both sides. If you're a racist, you're not really a good person. Now, does that term sometimes get thrown around on the left in ways that make it possible for Tommy Tuberville to say that? Yeah. You know, the reality is, and this is just my personal opinion from my own experience, you know, I grew up in River Falls. There were no minorities in River Falls. It was completely white when I was growing up there in the 70s and 80s. And I happened to get to go to something where I was out in Boston, and my roommate was an African-American kid who became a lifelong friend of mine from Tennessee. And we were talking years later, and I said to him, you know, when I walked into that hotel room and we sat down and watched football and we're talking, you were the first Black person I ever talked to in my life. And so sometimes the accusation of racism gets wrapped up on the left with people who just haven't had the opportunity to get to know people who are different than themselves. That is different than what Tommy Tuberville is defending here. He's defending like Klan type racists who it's not a function of not having had a chance to get to know people who are different. And then, you know, his defense is, well, as a football coach, right? Like here's the thing about it, which people may not know. I believe, and I might be wrong about this, but Caitlin Collins, I know, is from Alabama, and I think she might have gone to Auburn when Tuberville was the coach.
Wow. I did not know that. I see. Insightful information, not just political, but from a media standpoint as well. I think it's disturbing because we've seen this not just from Tuberville. We also saw this week somewhat of a separate incident in Northwestern University down in Chicago with Pat Fitzgerald, the football coach, being fired for allegedly a massive hazing thing going on. But also in the story that would have gotten bigger play if it hadn't been for Fitzgerald, the football team, is the baseball coach there, this Foster guy that came from West Point, apparently. He is also under investigation for using racist things, like saying that from the reporting I've seen from Adam Rittenberg at ESPN and others, the allegation is that he told the team that the only players with rhythm on the bases were the black players, who continually made racist remarks, who there was a female trainer or assistant coach on the team and said she had to be only in the box upstairs in the announcing booth because he was afraid the players would look at her rear end and be distracted. I mean, Trigvy, I'll say this again and get your opinion. I feel that Trumpism 2015-16, when you had a major candidate for president and then unfortunately became president, it starts from the top down. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing about political extremism, right? Like, it becomes normalized and then it becomes normal. And that is what Donald Trump enabled. He enabled normalization of this stuff. Now, that Pat Fitzgerald thing is crazy. I mean, I read the story in The Athletic. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. That guy has been the football coach there for a long, long time.
16,
that
17 stuff years.
Yeah. How long has that been going on? And here's the other thing. He was one of the finalists at one point, I think, when the Packers hired Matt LaFleur. They interviewed him. How did that stuff not get through a vet before? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, honestly, like, now I get maybe it has to do with the fact that Murphy was the athletic director at Northwestern. And that's why I got the interview. But like, how does that not come out? I mean, the level of fear that those players must have had when you read the allegations of what they were doing. Right. Like, every freshman quarterback and center had to strip naked and snap footballs. How did that not come out? The level of fear that he must have instilled had to be massive.
I don't want to say the other side. There is a line of spin out there, we can't prove any of this right now, but there's a line of spin basically saying that Fitzgerald said, well, the locker room belongs to the players. And he refused and allegedly said that assistant coaches only players were allowed in the locker room. But I mean, my gosh, a Division I program in 2022, 2023, that's hard to believe that one, Trigby.
Well, people who haven't seen it, there's a great 30 for 30 about Joe Paterno called Happy Valley and the Sandusky stuff that went on, which is just awful.
It really is.
I think some of this is, you know, that becomes the standard line. The locker room is the locker room. You see that. I read an article about the Harvard women's hockey team. Same kind of thing. The line, well, the locker room is the players. That sounds to me like some PR person trying to put a positive spin on it, saying to them, you know, the last refuge of the scoundrel kind of thing. But regardless, here's the thing. at the end of the day, okay, if that's true, then what kind of, like, doesn't the buck in terms of Northwestern football stop with Fitzgerald? This is the other thing. We have all these people in authority who don't want to take accountability. They're not Harry Truman. They're not Dwight Eisenhower before D-Day. On D-Day, he had written a letter resigning if it didn't go well. It's my fault. It's don't blame the boys on the beach who are given their lives. Where are the people who want to lead like that? And it kind of gets to your point about why are no Republicans standing up to Tuberville? Because they just don't.
Yeah, I think it's more than disturbing. And I said as a Big Ten fan, I took no pleasure in that news yesterday. I want all Big Ten programs to be successful and competitive, and certainly my thoughts are with the players down there, especially at Northwestern University. We're going to come back and talk. We got a little bit off track, but that's fine. I mean, it's a bit of a tangent. I think it just goes things that make you go just wow, right? Doesn't matter whether it's Tommy Tuberville, doesn't matter whether it's the Northwestern thing, or it doesn't matter whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Things that make you go
Wow. And on the other side of the break, we're going to come back and talk with Marjorie Taylor Greene. First, she was kicked out of the Freedom Caucus, and now she wants to pull the U.S. out of NATO. I mean, yeah. what the heck?
Well, John Bolton said in his book that that's what he thought Donald Trump would do if he got to a second term. I mean, and honestly, when you think about things that have made America great, you know, the entire post-World War II global era, which has been really good for Americans, part of one of the foundational elements of that is NATO and the security that's provided in Europe. There have not been any major conflicts in Europe until the Russians decided to invade Ukraine, which is kind of the point of NATO. Yeah. That is not Ronald Reagan's conservative Republican Party. It's just not.
We'll pick it up on the other side of the break, but quickly in 20 seconds, agree or disagree with the Biden administration that we wait until after the war with Ukraine is settled before we admit Ukraine to NATO?
Agree. Completely.
Yeah, agreed. Stay tuned. We'll pick it up on the other side with Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project. We appreciate it. We're on location in Richland Center at WRCE on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show.
Coming home to a place he'd never been before.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on location in the place I was actually born. Here in Richland Center, we are on location at our home station, WRCE, in the Driftless area, southwest Wisconsin. John Denver, little Rocky Mountain High there. Is a trick we were talking over the break about Mr. Denver. Also talking before the break about political extremism. Trigvi mentioning that, you know, this whole thing right now with a lot of these Republicans is just basically normalizing hate. And off the text line this afternoon from our station in Madison, WMDX in Madison, we have Mark from the SAC texting in saying normalized, or to borrow from Young Frankenstein, Abby normalized. I thought that was pretty good.
Spot on.
Spot on. If you'd like to join Trigvi and I, feel free to give us a call. The toll-free number, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, will make it easy, 844-96-PARTY. Or better yet, download the Civic Media app. There is an icon there. Just go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It takes less than a minute. It is free. That's what Gail King calls a deal. And you can take us with you anywhere you go, as well as just simply hit the phone or the text icon and give us a shout out. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. I believe we have Susan in a car phone right now. Susan, we appreciate you holding through the break. What say you?
We do not have Susan at the moment. She had to drop off. Right. But hey, Susan, if you're still listening and you're able to call back, we can definitely take your call.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that, Susan. I just had to, as they say, do some business over the commercial break there. But we welcome Susan's call back or yours as well, 844-967-2789. Trick, before the break, we mentioned a little bit about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, first of all, you know, she's a national treasure for the late night comedians, and it's only too bad we're in the middle of a writer's strike that we don't have fresh material from Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and others. But I mean, she is the gift that keeps on giving. First, she gets voted out of the Freedom Caucus. Why was that? Why? I mean, she's kind of the nut job among nut jobs. Was she too extreme? What the heck happened?
Well, she's Kevin McCarthy's nut job, first of all, at the moment. But she was voted out for voting to raise the debt limit, for doing her job, which is...
Make sure for the listening audience, for those of us at home, what you're saying is Marjorie Taylor Greene was not extreme enough for the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, because they wanted us to default on our debt. It gets back to, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing conservative about people defaulting intentionally on their obligations. And that's a separate conversation than if we spend too much or we tax too much or too little, or what programs should be, you know, authorized. The debt has been incurred by all of us. Basically, what she said is we're not going to walk away from that, which, again, you know, I said about NATO, which she's now attacking. Another central foundation of peace and prosperity that America has experienced over the last 70 years since the end of World War II has to do with the fact that we have reserve currency status. It means people in Richland Center, as high as interest rates are, they'd be 2 points higher if we weren't the reserve currency. You know, I at one point borrowed some money in Europe. And, you know, I couldn't believe the interest rates. This was back in the early 2000s from a bank there, for a place for my wife's family. And, you know, I couldn't figure that out. Well, the reason for that is because they don't have reserve currency status. That's what defaulting on the debt would take out.
Yeah.
And that's what the Freedom Caucus wanted. They want chaos at the end of the day.
And I think this is, I love the context you put it into there, because we see these things, these national, international issues like pulling out of NATO. And you just boiled it down to why folks in Richland Center and Amory and River Falls and Green Bay and Merrill and Waukesha should be concerned about this, because it actually can impact, would impact each of us, whether it was a car loan or a student loan or a home loan. It's going to impact us here in Wisconsin.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with having conversations in Congress or in the state legislature about taxes and spending. But that's independent of the question of what you do with the debt and the reserve currency status. They're two separate pieces. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's ironic because the House Freedom Caucus really was a precursor to the whole MAGA Make America Great movement. And yet the MAGA movement keeps attacking foundational institutions that are really what has allowed America to be great and exceptional in the annals of history and around the world that we all benefit from. And even if we don't see them on a day-to-day basis. And that's what's so jaded about them. Now, I will say in Marjorie Taylor Greene's case, man, she knows how to get attention. I guess it's the Madonna theory, spell my name right, whether good or bad. But
right. Do you think, I think she's running for vice president. I think there's a good chance Trump chooses her. You think that's completely irrational, or you think there's a chance that could happen?
No, I mean, who knows what Donald Trump would pick.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
He loves to be loved, right? So, I mean, the fact that she just kisses up to him all the time and is a fireball, well, and he, you know, I'm trying to say this delicately. I guess I won't, but, you know, I'm sure to him, she appears hot, for lack of a better term. He likes what he considers hot women around him. He likes fireballs. He likes people with spunk and that stand up. That's all stuff that attracts him. It seems to be a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump is a guy where it's nothing about the substance. It's all about the style and how it looks, you know. But I just think, and the idea, you know, the people on the right who call into question Kamala Harris's qualifications, but then wouldn't question Marjorie Taylor Greene's is just, well, right? Like, you know, this is the thing is that... you know, it's almost become like sports, right? My team, right or wrong, right? You get me in a conversation with a Minnesota Viking fan, by God, the Packers can do no wrong. But that's not healthy in a democracy. And honestly, can you imagine at Lambeau Field if before Matt LaFleur called the play, he had to poll everybody in the audience and, you know, in the stadium and say, are we going to run a screen pass or should we throw it long? They'd be throwing it long to Christian Watson every play.
Spoken as a true Packer co-owner there. You brought up sports, and so, you know, look, why not? Let's just go there. You know, what's popping with Robin Voss and the Wisconsin GOP this week, rather? Once again, it's just... in my opinion, and you can speak for yourself, in my opinion, it is just yet another example, instead of talking about substantive policy that affects the majority of Wisconsinites, they zero in on a hateful message and that divides us, that taps into our worst fears, and that, in my opinion, really isn't a real issue, and that is transgender athletes in sports in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, I find it hard to believe that that's a real thing. I mean, are there people who probably try one or two examples that you could come up with? Sure. But one or two examples does not make something a thing. And, you know, I was telling you on the break, I mean, here's the other, I don't know how they would address this, but like one of my best friend's younger sister who ended up becoming, she's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Karen Bai, who's a great American, a total pioneer in women's hockey. She played on the boys high school hockey team when she was in high school and ended up becoming, you know, an alternate captain of the Nagano. She's got a gold medal from that. Mm-hmm. They all did, because there was no girls hockey at that point. And it's the worst of trying to find one example. It's like the war on Christmas. The war on Christmas was one shopping mall in St. Louis. And yet when Donald Trump got elected, people like my mom were like, I can say Merry Christmas again. I'm like, Mom, you never stop saying Merry Christmas. Like, I got your Christmas card every year. What are you talking about? Right.
And it's just,
I think this is the same thing.
I do too. And last, I don't have it in front of me, but last I checked it, it's been a while ago. I believe according to the WIAA in Wisconsin, there were less than a handful of incidences or cases in Wisconsin where a transgender person wanted to play on a high school athletic team. So it's just not something that is a regular occurrence. And B, who cares? I mean, it's for, and I'll be honest, as I think people sometimes say, oh, if you're gay or whatever, you must, you know, you understand transgender. No, I mean, I'm a gay dude, but I'm not going to claim that I know what it's like to be a transgender person. It's very different. And honestly, my eyes were opened years ago when Caitlyn Jenner did the whole or it was ABC. It was like a whole evening. I'm like, do I really want to watch this? And I forced myself to watch it. And I'm just like, wow. And then after I had my coffee shop in Madison, and we had several transgender clients come in, and you hear their stories and you listen. And the point is, this is something that's very difficult, and this is something that's very personal. And my gosh, Dwayne Wade has a transgender child and played it for Marquette, played for Miami. And to think that this is somehow an easy thing for a high school child kid to go through, and their parents, I mean, if they have the guts, the chutzpah to put themselves out there and want to play an athletic sport in front of everybody after going through that, I say more power to them.
I just think, I mean, I think it's interesting what you just said. It gets back to what I was saying about people not having a chance to know people. I had an experience just last weekend. We were at the Mall of America, and I was with my two daughters who are 11 and 14. And there was a man dressed as a woman, or I don't know what the deal was. Didn't matter to me. I kind of hardly noticed it because we got good service on the Doc Martens. But at the end of the day, it got mentioned. It came up in the conversation with my daughters, and I couldn't. You know, I referred to the person as cross-dressing, and they said, no, Dad, that's somebody who's transgender. I think part of this is, you know, and I'm telling this story because it gets a bigger point. There's a whole lot of people who really don't know. And I actually Right. thought it was useful that my daughters were kind of educating me. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of what this is doing, is it's just like trying to play on fears of people. And Right. at the end of the day, you know, my kid got her Doc Martens. Who cares what the person does who is selling them to him? I don't.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, it's a very
good for them.
Story.
If they're right. living their true self, good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, once you get to know someone, once you know their story, where it's an education thing for all of us as we go through life, you know, and you know, Kristen Bryant, our colleague on As Goes Wisconsin yesterday, had a great program on talking about suicide and mental health in Wisconsin's agricultural community. And so by the same token, you can't take somebody that lives in inner city of Madison or Milwaukee and say, do you understand what it's like to be a farmer in Western Wisconsin? They're very, I mean, it's, we all live a unique experience, right? And it doesn't matter whether we're happen to be a transgender person in Richland Center or Madison, Milwaukee, or whether we're a farmer in River Falls or Eau Claire area. We all just have to try to understand and I think respect, Trigby. For me, the word is respect. Right. Just respect one another.
Yeah, I mean, I once was at a focus group of African Americans in North Carolina, and there was an older woman in there who talked about, she was asked by the focus group moderator, do you think Donald Trump's a racist? And she said something that I've tried to take with me, and I thought so important. She's like, I used to ride on the back of the bus, literally, when I was a little girl, and I would never accuse somebody of being a racist unless I'd sat down and had dinner with them, and I knew what was in their heart. But, and then in that case, she said, but I know the people who made me ride on the back of the bus are all supporting Donald Trump, and that tells me what I need to know. And I think that's so good, you know, right? Like, she's really totally good. Right. Until you've spent time actually talking to somebody, whether it's somebody who's committed a crime or, you know, it's always different if it's someone you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay with us. More on the other side. It's horrible.
Abby who? Abby Normal.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live on location at WRCE in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin, in the Driftless region. Glad to be here. Thanks to Phil Nee and the entire crew, Bo Hendricks and the entire crew for making us feel welcome and helping us get on the air here at WRCE in Richland Center. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to you for listening. We have Mr. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, Wisconsin native, and great guy all around here with us. 844-967-2789. If you want to join us, give us a call on the toll-free line, 844-967-2789. Susan in a car phone, we appreciate you calling back. Thank you so very much. Susan, what say you today?
Well, I was just wanted to add to the conversation about supporting people, because last night on Busted Pencils, they were gave the statistics about kids that have at least one parent that supports their choice as far as their sexual identity. The suicide rate goes down from 45% to 4%. And if we really support kids and that goes across the board to communities, it's just we have to support each other, because through those safe spaces that we provide for people of color, for people of the LGBTQ community, it all pays back, because we don't have these unfortunate deaths because people come to the end of their rope and they don't know what else to do with their lives. And I had a nephew that committed suicide, so. For me, it was a huge thing when I think about these kids who have no support, whose parents kick them out the door, and then they're lost. And it happens to people who are indigent, too, that don't have any place to go. I mean, people feel helpless. So we need to support our communities, regardless of who they are.
Susan, I can't thank you enough for sharing your story, and my condolences on your brother. But thank you for sharing that with us. I agree with you 100%. It comes down to supporting one another, and it comes down to respect. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
All right. Susan, thank you so much. Really, Absolutely. Really appreciate you holding. Thanks for holding through the break and sharing that with us. Trigby, this is what that example right there, that statistic. Yeah. I mean, we're human beings. I mean, I have godsons and nieces. I don't have, you're actually a father. You have your own child, your own children. I mean, it comes down to just caring for our kids, for goodness sake.
Yeah. And being supportive of choices that they make and helping them, you know, move through choices they make. Being a parent helps teach you not to be judgmental of choices people make.
Yeah. And just to be clear, just from my standpoint, you know, Your sexuality is, your sexual identity is not a choice. Yeah. I mean, there are other choices we make in life, but I mean, it's making choices, it's respecting choices, but it's also just respecting who you are. You know, how
yeah,
you
I don't born. I don't mean choices as in
I mean
I was at the orthodontist this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, which didn't really make me happy because I was up late doing a PowerPoint. You know, and my daughter, who's 14, has been making a choice not to wear her Invisalign. And we had to have a conversation about that. But, you know, listen, here's the thing at the end of the day, the importance of having, and it starts with families, but there's people also who don't have that infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And it's about supporting one another is so key. And that's true across all facets of our society, supporting people with what they want to do and not being judgmental. Because, you know, I mean, the truth that I grew up and am a Lutheran, right? Like, we have to be better about embracing love and not giving into fear. And we always give into fear.
And it starts from the top, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, was after Trayvon Martin was murdered, Barack Obama mm-hmm. stood at the podium with tears coming down his face. He said, that could have been my son. When after 9/11, George W. Bush stood at the podium and he said, we are not a country that is anti-Muslim and supported people of the Muslim faith. So, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. It starts with leadership at the top. And that's what gets me is that we have someone running for president, Ron DeSantis right now, who literally has used the word in his advertising of extermination of a certain group of human beings. That is uncalled for. Quickly, Mark in the sack. We appreciate you here in Southwest
or
Wisconsin.
No, not Mark in the sack. We have Jack from Merrimack on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you saying a text?
No, it rhymes. Sorry about that. Jack from Merrimack. Go ahead, Jack.
One moment, please, while I get you off speaker. I apologize. I was a little slow on the uptake here.
No worries.
Okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you good.
All right. I just wanted to say that the arrogance of the Republicans, both in the national and state level, is absolutely amazing to me. They think they can do and say anything, and it's going to be just fine. And it seems to be just fine with their base. They've managed to stir up a few tens of millions of people that think this is all just great. We've got, you know, Robin Voss, who's basically done nothing except tried to give something like $2.5 billion away to the richest people in the state. Fortunately, the governor vetoed that portion of the budget. But then he said, oh, we don't have the money for Milwaukee, so Milwaukee can that sends more money than any other municipality in the state. Milwaukee can tax their people even more. This is an outrage, and you know, people should just, you know, should be aware of that. And it's the same with the school district. They give in welfare $3,000 per student more this year and the next year for welfare for private schools, yet, oh, if you want more money for public schools, fine, pass a referendum and get a measly couple hundred dollars more per student. What's wrong with this picture? And then we have the federal level. We have the national.
Jack, sorry, we're running out of time, Jack. I just want to give Trigvy a chance to respond. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate the call. Trigvy, about a minute and a half left.
Well, what I would say to Jack is this is the thing, you know, like you have the rhetoric of people who are in the Republican Party from Donald Trump on down, but you also have your neighbor or your friend or whoever who's buying into it, who, you know, you like to go drink beer with and is a good guy. It's important to point out to them the cognitive dissonance between what they're espousing politically and how they live their lives, because that really is how you break this one person at a time, because there's a lot of good people who are succumbing to that extremism that is being perpetrated and fanned by Ron DeSantis and to a degree Robin and certainly Donald Trump. And the people who are buying into it, it's not who they are as your neighbor or is the person who you go to church with, or the person you watch the Packer game at the bar with? And it's important for you to find ways by listening to them and encouraging them to find in themselves that they're that's not who they are.
Great way to end this segment. Trevia Olson from the Lincoln Project. Great segment as always. Thank you so much. Have a great week, my friend.
Yep. Thank you.
My pleasure. Stay with us. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.